Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Red Men Radio, the Liverpool podcast by the Red Men TV. The Champions League final awaits. We're going to get stuck into that to see if we can fight off our nerves and anxiety for an hour or so. Our kickoff question for myself and my co-host, Mr. Chris Page, comes from Jack Cole. This, can I just say,
this is a belter
of a question. We're going hard, Chris. Straight off, normally we throw a bit of fluffing at the start here to ease us in. No, we've got a Champions League final to get about. Here's the question. If you could, would you swap prime Stevie G for Salah for the final?
Oh my days, are you for real? Okay, I've got to ask the question. I've got to ask some questions about this question, okay. First and foremost. Am I just dropping Stevie G into this side for this one game, or has Stevie G played all season long for us? Because, you know, I need to know that he understands the movements of this Liverpool side. You know what I mean? I can't just drop him in for one game. I need to say, look, in this alternate universe, there's two seasons that have happened. Right. We've both got to the Champions League final, one with Stevie G in the side, so he knows all those players, and one with Mo Salah in the side. Riddle me this.
Okay, well, I can reread the question. And it says, for the final. So let's treat this as a one-off game in isolation. We're playing Real Madrid in the Champions League final. Imagine that. And you just get to choose either Salah or prime Stevie G for your team for the final.
Okay, well, my blink reaction, my first instinct was to go with Mo Salah on this one.
I agree. Mine too.
But it's Steven Gerrard in his prime. And Steven Gerrard in his prime didn't get to play with players like Sadio Mane and Roberto Firmino and all the other great players that we've got. I mean, I named them. It's such a hard question because he's been there and he's done it and he's won it, literally, whereas Mo Salah hasn't.
My immediate reaction is the thing. Steven Gerrard is tremendous, was tremendous, and will always be tremendous. An absolute legend of the game and of the football club. And look, he had his role. I've just rewatched Istanbul, just done our commentary for it on the website, which I recommend watching, and the final word for it as well. Plug, plug, plug. He changed that game. We pushed him further up in the second half and he got to play more of his game, more of it, used his attacking attributes, and he scores a phenomenal header, as we know. But Mohamed Salah has literally scored all the goals this season. If you took 43, you know, I mean, you're not taking 43 goals on the day out of the game. Maybe that's how many they'll score. A lot of minutes in this game. I couldn't take Salah out of this team. He's just too good. Now, this is one of those situations where, and we're going to come on to talk about the media in Spain and how they're covering this and the Real Madrid reaction to it a bit later on in the podcast, but this is one of those where I won't, in the fullness of time, when we look back on this final, we might feel as though we really needed an absolute world-class centre midfielder to get us over the line in this, but there is no way that you're taking Mohamed Salah out of this team. This team is absolutely hinges on Mo Salah. So for me, as much as I love Stevie, and I would love to have a Steven Gerrard type player in this game, because he would get in ahead of Milner or Wijnaldum without a shadow of a doubt. You're weakening the thing that we do best to take Mohamed Salah out.
Okay, my final answer then. It shouldn't be this hard, but you've just compared him to one of my favourite Liverpool players of all time.
Gini Wijnaldum.
I'm gonna go Mo Salah. I think I agree with you. I think you take Mo Salah out of this side, and we're not the same team. For a better centre midfielder or not, we're just not as likely to score goals, and therefore it's Mo Salah. But it pains me to say it.
Yeah,
well,
let us know in the comments. That is a thank you very much, Jack Cole, who got onto that via our Facebook group. Absolutely brilliant, mate. Yeah. So quick rundown of the topics. We're going to be going on to talk about Real Madrid and the supreme confidence emanating out of the Spanish capital a little bit later on. We're going to be talking a little bit in a moment about the media day and the build-up and the player interviews and their reactions to it and what have you. But first, some news in brief. Daniel Sturridge insists there is no rift between himself, Klopp and Michael Edwards. It was reported, Chris, that he fell out because he wasn't getting a Champions League final ticket or something like that. Look, Daniel, there's a lot of those requests going around, mate. I'm just saying. I'm glad he's come out on Twitter and he's basically said, no, look, I've spoken to the manager, I've spoken to Edwards, I've wished them all the best for the final. This is one of those things where the timing of this could have been horrendous, to be fair. I just don't think Liverpool need stories of disharmony coming out. So whether it's true or not, I'm glad Daniel Sturridge has decided to cut the legs off this by coming out and shutting it down.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? I mean, you're exactly right. Klopp has built this Liverpool squad and this Liverpool team on team harmony. It's the basis for everything that we've done so far under his tenure. And you wouldn't want the focus to be shifted to Daniel Sturridge. And equally, I don't think Daniel Sturridge would want the focus on him either. He's not that type of a player, he's not that type of a person. So I think you're right. What he's done is, as you say, he's cut the legs off it. It's now a non-story. People can forget about it. He's happy. I love the fact that he said my teammates as well in that tweet. I thought that was really important that he still sees himself as a part of this squad, because ultimately he scored goals in the Champions League for us. You know, we might, all right, you never know, do you? But ultimately, he has scored goals. He's affected this campaign. Mm-hmm. And do you know what? He'll be deserving of a Champions League winner's medal if we get one.
Yeah, absolutely. As we know now, we spoke about this yesterday and we saw it with our own eyes. Emre Can back in training can't be anything but a good thing.
He looked sharp as well, didn't he? Like, his touch looked good. It's completely different, of course, when you're going into a game of football. But he looked just dead calm, as did the rest of the squad. I think it's a really, really massive thing for Liverpool. I think, you know, you can compare the two sides, Liverpool and Real Madrid, and for me, there ain't much in it, player by player, to be perfectly honest with you. But the bench is where we kind of fall down, and you start to think to yourself, right, I think it's going to be a high scoring game. What happens if it goes to extra time? Are we going to have the legs? We've seen Liverpool tying in games already this season. You know, will we be able to keep that intensity up that we play with in the Champions League for 90 minutes plus another maybe half an hour? Then you're starting to think, right, I'm so happy that Emre Can's back into the fold, and I love the fact that it's not a story for Klopp.
Yeah.
He's just one of his players. He's a bloody good player. He's done a job getting us there. And as such, he's in contention because he's one of the next best players in this squad.
I think the people who complain about us shifting to three at the back to shut games out, I think if Emre Can's fit and available for this game, and I think if we need to do that in the final, I think we bring Emre Can on instead. I don't think we bring Ragnar Klavan on in this game. I think what it allows us to do is to maintain what we do well, which is obviously to keep the shape and the front three as intact as possible. And it also allows us to put a bit more steel in the team. We saw this 2 years ago when he came back from, you know, he came back from injury for Villarreal, and he absolutely donned it in DM for us. This is one of those games where, look, he's not going to start this game. I would be shocked to see him start this. So it's likely to be Henderson, Milner and Gini Wijnaldum. You know, are you going to get 90 plus minutes out of James Milner? You know, I think he would go it, but I think they'll reach a point where, regardless of how the game's going, you're going to need to bring fresh legs on that we've rotated that midfield so heavily this season. So those three guys have had to bear a lot of burden in the last few weeks. I think, you know, you want whether you're chasing a goal or whether you're looking to put more steel into your team to see it out, Emre Can to come into that is a fantastic option for Liverpool off the bench.
He scored goals this season as well, hasn't he? You know, he's a big unit as well. He can score headers. He drives with the ball. He's a little bit different to the other midfielders when he's playing in that eight role as opposed to the six, in that he's comfortable with the ball at his feet. It feels like if he was fit and he'd been playing the last few weeks, I'd probably have him in the side anyway.
Yeah.
Probably over maybe a Gini Wijnaldum. Maybe that's a little bit harsh and stuff, but I think Chan's been playing at a hell of a level this season and would deserve to start if he'd been fit the last few weeks.
I also think there's a little bit to which, you know, he's missed out on the German squad. I think he'd relish a goal up against Tony Cruz.
Yeah.
I think he, if you're saying, right, let's go and win that midfield battle, mate, I think he'd be banging for that. Well, whether he wins it is, you know, is
he up, steps is up in big yeah. games yeah. as well, Emre Can, doesn't he? He's a big game player. I think we know that from him. And, you know, it's one of them, the bigger the stage, the bigger the performance from Emre.
Yeah, completely agree. Another bit of just tangential Liverpool news, really. Jordan Henderson's missed out on the captain's armband for England. Harry Kane's been given it. This is a bonkers decision for me. Like, Harry Kane is not even the Tottenham captain. This is one of the things I thought Gareth Southgate was getting away from. This, I was really starting to turn on him to the positive. And I'm not gutted, because I kind of don't care. I want as little spotlight on Liverpool players as possible, if I'm honest. If they draw the spotlight on them, it should be through their positive performances. But this is just England through and through for me. It's like they've gone around and gone, who's our talisman? Who's our biggest name player? Let's slap the armband on him. Harry Kane can't even talk, Chris, let alone captain a team.
No, I think his tongue's too big for his mouth, if I'm honest with you.
Agreed.
He struggles massively. Yeah. He's good with his feet. Like, don't get me wrong, he's got some really good attributes. That right foot's really good. But
he's a good footballer.
His tongue's probably the worst in
Where
the squad.
Do you stand on strikers being captains?
Not really a massive fan. Yeah. Not really a massive fan. Unless you've been there and you've done it. And yes, he's won the Golden Boot 3 times on the bounce before this season. I think it's 3 anyway, before this season. But you've not won anything. You've literally not won a fucking trophy. You've not captained the side to a trophy ever. You know what I mean? At a professional level. Equally, you know, Jordan hasn't done that yet.
Did you realise that as you were saying out loud quite vociferously?
No. Because it's the strikers thing. I think it's a little... Cool. That's one of the reasons that, like, you know, great strikers over the years who become captains. Alan Shearer won the Premier League. You know what I mean? So him to go and be a captain for a team, I think's fine.
Yeah.
Whereas I'd prefer it to be a centre midfielder or a defender, a centre back preferably, actually. Yeah. I think, look, I'm not really asked about whether England want to have him as captain or not. He's my captain. He's Liverpool's captain. That's all I really give a shit about. But when you think of how he'd feel, I think that would be a blow to him.
Yeah.
And I feel gutted for him because, again, why couldn't it just have been announced in a few days after the Champions League final? Why are you putting that burden on him going into the Champions League final? So from a Liverpool perspective, like, the timing of this shite.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing is, as Henderson said himself in the interview he did this week, is the disappointment spurring him on. And he's, again, like almost like the Chan Cruz thing to some extent. Jordan Henderson will go into that going, great, okay, well, cool, he doesn't think I'm good enough to be captain. Let's see what happens when I rock up into the England cap with me Champions League winners medal round my neck. That's on him. You know, that's Jordan Henderson has the ability to smack it back in Gareth Southgate's face in the best possible way. He doesn't even need to say anything. Just go out, do it. Be pictured worldwide lifting that massive, big, silver, big-eared bastard. And then walk into the England training camp.
In just his medal.
Just nothing but a medal. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a fantastic opportunity. And Jordan, if you're watching / listening, I hope you do that.
Hashtag Hendo Nudes.
Right, okay. So as mentioned earlier, we were genuinely privileged to be invited to the media day. It was a very, very late call. I think people forgot we existed. But never mind. It happened. We ended up there. We got to sit around in the sunshine in Anfield watching the boys go through some very, very
light work. It was a good Monday.
That's a pretty good Monday. All told.
Yeah, you know, for Mondays, like, it was up there with the best Monday I've ever had.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't remember any others.
Mondays are generally just busy and just quite intense, whereas this was, it was very, very nice. And
I used to have double biology on a Monday afternoon. I remember that. Yeah, hated that.
Double biology. Anyway, far better than double biology is a bit of a single PE lesson watching Liverpool go through the paces. We mentioned this in the video that we put out on the YouTube channel about this. The thing that struck us most really about that training session was just how happy and relaxed everyone looked.
Yeah, it's brilliant to see. I think they're going into the biggest game of the season for any team. You know, it's the biggest game in club football, and they just didn't look that arsed, and not in a bad way at all. Like, we're a good side. People keep talking us down with the underdogs. They seem to be sort of relishing that side of things already. Yeah. And, you know, they'd obviously been away to Marbella. That might have helped with team morale. They looked well rested. They looked confident. They looked like they're ready for a fight. And, you know, I wondered whether we'd see them a little bit nervous. There was none of that. And that gave me a lot of confidence. In fact, So much so that I come out of that feeling a lot different towards the game on Saturday, yeah, having looked at the demeanours.
It's just that thing, as you said, we've talked a lot about this, sort of the team bonding, the team camaraderie, the way that they're just mates. And you could see in the groups they got split up. There was like three groups doing these passing exercises, and they were all having a laugh with it. You know, I mean, we've seen the times, and I think when the cameras are off and people are getting stuck in, I think we'll see a lot more scowls and frowns, you know, real serious stuff. That was, to be fair, by comparison, probably to what they've been getting put through all season long. That probably was really enjoyable. A little bit of a kick about with your mates in the sunshine. But again, it shows that if that was a really light-hearted, easy thing, and they were all very focused and determined, I think that was weird. I think they were putting too much stock into it somehow, whereas, you know, they're megging each other and they're flicking it over each other's heads and they're laughing in each other's faces, and like Mo Salah's miscontrol and stuff, and they're going,
What was the Klopp one that you saw? Klopp on Van Dijk?
Oh, yes. Yeah, so Van Dijk just starts having some pot shots at the goal when it breaks down, which is another thing I love. I love that even for a gang of lads who are literally paid to kick footballs, that you do that in any walk of life. If you put a goal there and you put a football there and you're not being commanded to do elsewhere, you'll try and shoot.
Especially when you have to go and get the ball yourself.
Exactly, yeah. And Virgil Van Dijk,
in the park and you go 50 yards past the goal.
Virgil Van Dijk was just having shots at the goal, and he had a few. He scored a couple and he missed a couple. And he looked over to Klopp, and Klopp looked at him like, because he missed a couple, takes his glasses off and hands him his glasses as if to say, like, you might need these if you... Oh, my God. It's just brilliant, you know, and they're the moments to tell you everything you need to know. And it was, and that was almost the theme of the day for me, is later on they were getting questions put on their toes as well about it, like about the mentality and the confidence and saying, oh, how good Real Madrid are and what have you. And the message remained the same throughout, was just, no, we're dead good as well. You know, we've not gotten here by accident. We've not gotten here by luck. We're the top goal scoring team in the Champions League this season for a reason, and you know, whether that's something they've innately believed and it's just a belief they're carrying through, or whether Klopp's give them a gentle reminder, I don't know. It doesn't matter. This doesn't look like a team who are going into this game thinking, oh my God, it's Real Madrid.
And that's it. And maybe, look, I'm not 100% sure, but there's a confidence through the fan base as well, isn't there? That, you know, we all know exactly how good this side are. And it feels very different to 2005 for me, where I think there was a lot of trepidation running throughout the fan base. Obviously, everybody believed and everybody hoped that Liverpool could come away with it. But I think there's more there this time around.
It felt destined that time. And it felt, to be fair, it felt destined in 13-14 for the league as well. And that's a weird thing. I think this doesn't feel destined. We don't feel destined to win
this. Hard work's got us there.
Exactly. This doesn't feel like, again, this is magical power is guiding Liverpool to a number six. You can try and draw those, like, oh, the last time we played it was 81 and there was a royal wedding and was it Stuttgart or something won the FK Pokal or whatever. You know, the German Cup, whatever it was, whichever team it was. There's those things, sure, but no one, I think, feels like our name's written on it. I haven't seen any people prepared and six as a thing or whatever.
It felt like in 2005 and it felt like in 13-14 we were riding the crest of an unstoppable wave.
Yeah.
Right, and which is why the shock was so big at the end of 13-14. But this season, it just feels like a natural evolution of this side. Yeah. It's not like, you know, it's not an unstoppable wave in any shape or form. It's just that we've just been getting better and better and better, and the right pieces have been bought. And you know, the team is as good as any team in world football right now. And yes, we're playing Real Madrid, and Real Madrid have got some superstars and they've won stuff and all that, but we're not that bothered. We're just kind of looking at us going, yeah, but don't forget, we scored 40 goals in this competition. Yeah. We've got three of the four top scorers or whatever in Mane, Salah and Roberto Firmino with 29 goals between them. Real Madrid have scored 30 goals in this competition.
Yeah.
Those three have scored 29. You know what I mean? Decent. So for all their star players and for all their world-class players and winners, our three players have scored one goal less than you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's pretty incredible. And that's just how good this side have been in this competition.
That's it. I think this is a game for me where in 2005, you know, we'd had a bit of a dip post-Houllier. Benitez had come in. We were crap in the league that season. We limped to fifth in the league that time around. And it was only the Champions League that got us back into Europe the following season. Watching that game back, I say we've just done the commentary to it. Liverpool were abysmal in the first half. That was how bad Liverpool were. That was the true, almost the true quality of that 11, almost on the pitch that we saw in the first half. And again, a little bit of magic in tactics and some of the good players really stepping up to the plate got us over the line in there. But it was a ball from the blue. We weren't expected to get anywhere near the Champions League final because again, we were relatively new to the Champions League. You know, in its modern iteration, it was the first season under a new manager. You know, we'd plateaued a bit under Julier, so we were looking to pick ourselves back up again. Similarly, 13-14, you know, we went from like 7th or 8th in the league to challenging for the title overnight. It was just, again, it was magic. And it was all around the time of the Hillsborough inquests as well, and it did feel like, again, like there was a higher power guiding us. Well, look at this Liverpool team. Yes, we had the disappointment of Rodgers. We had the 13-14. We fell off a cliff massively the next season. And then the start of the next season wasn't great. Then Klopp comes in. This is a team, or rather a club that's now been... This is our second European final in three seasons.
Third final in three seasons.
This is the second season on the bounce. We've now qualified for the Champions League by getting into the top four of the Premier League. And whilst this is an outstanding achievement to get to, it's an outlier, really. You know, we have overperformed to some extent in this by expectation. It's not a complete shock because, you know...
Have we overperformed? I'd argue that we haven't.
Only so much as that there was no expectation on Liverpool to get to even a semi-final of the Champions League. So in that regard, I think we have... But I think what you're saying is we haven't, by how we've played in the Champions League this season, we wouldn't have been upset, you know, if we've gone out in an earlier round, because again, there were no expectation, but also we're not surprised that we're here because we've watched how we've performed.
I think to add to that then, I think, you know, Jürgen Klopp's Dortmund side, who got beaten by Bayern Munich in the final of the Champions League, I think it was 12-13, you know, they didn't have the squad to be able to compete for the league and the Champions League that season, although they were just coming off the back of two league titles themselves. Yeah. You know, they'd lost a lot of players, but he still had a style of football that works in European football.
Yeah.
And I think what we've seen is the Klopp style of football still works in European football.
Yeah.
The fact that manager's got to two European Cup finals, all right, one's in Europa League, one's in the Champions League, in 3 years is incredible. Let's not forget, one of those years we weren't in Europe.
Yeah.
So the last two seasons under Jürgen Klopp that we've been in Europe, we've got to the final. So anyone can say all they want, you know, Liverpool have overperformed. Klopp's style of football suits European football. Yeah. It really does. Now, whether he wins it or he doesn't, that doesn't matter. The style of football thing still matters.
Yeah.
But Liverpool, for me, this season, we're not the same team in the Champions League that we are in the Premier League. We just don't play with the same style.
Yeah.
You know, what's interesting, and I find really interesting, is that we've actually struggled against the top six sides in the Premier League, yet when we've come up against better European-style teams, our gegenpressing style's seen us through.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Liverpool have done so well this season, is they've been able to transition to a possession side in the Premier League where we're averaging 57% possession, and yet we're in the Champions League, we're playing with 48% possession. Now, Real Madrid dominate possession in La Liga, 57%. In the Champions League, they're down to 53-48. That's very, very similar, you know, Real Madrid and Liverpool, to what I think the game's going to be like.
Yeah.
Yet with our style of play, the way that we can counter-attack, the way that we can hit teams fast on the break with our front three players, it kind of feels to me like if Real Madrid play their way, which I think they will because they've earned the right to, because they've won this European Cup twice on the bounce, then that actually might help Liverpool a little bit as well.
That's it, and that's why there's confidence going into this. And what's really interesting is I think the most people I've talked to about this, and I'm going to say this, and I'll preface this slightly with, I can't truly predict how I'll feel on the night, of course, but my feelings right here and right now are very much that if Liverpool lose this game, I'll be upset, very upset, maybe devastated, but I won't be truly heartbroken. I don't feel as though I'll be absolutely on the floor. I mean, look, if we lose it in dramatic fashion, that's a different thing. But what I mean is, I feel like I'll be able to pick myself up fairly quickly from Liverpool losing this, because for me, it's just how we've got here. This doesn't feel like the peak of this team. This still feels like this is the beginning of the peak.
I'm with you.
Of this
I'm
team.
With you 100%. I will be absolutely fucking devastated Liverpool don't go on to win this European Cup. That's what being a fan of a football team does to you when you lose a game of football. Whether it's the Champions League, whether it's a bloody Premier League game, I'll be devastated. It matters not. But when the drop is so high and it's, you know, it's win or you're out, then, you know, it's going to hurt a lot. But you're exactly right, Paul. This isn't a magical ride that we've gone on,
yeah,
and it might never happen again.
Yeah.
This is Liverpool returning to the peak of European football.
Yeah.
Whether we win or lose, we're going to be a force in the Champions League next season, hopefully the season after that. This could be a new age of Liverpool in European football. That's what it feels like Jurgen Klopp started. Not like in 2005, where you're like, fucking hell, are we ever going to get back here again?
Yeah.
Because the way that we got there was just mental.
Yeah.
But yeah, this one just feels like, well, next season we'll be in a group and we'll win the group.
Yeah.
And then when we get into the last 16, we'll probably beat them,
yeah,
away from home and home. And then when we're drawn against Manchester City again in that big rivalry, we'll beat them twice.
Yeah. At Bandcamp.
And we'll see. Yeah, yeah, Bandcamp. That's an old one. When did that film go on? In 99?
Probably. I completely agree on that. And, you know, 13-14, I still think to some extent, I think as a fan base, we're still recovering from that. It was truly heartbreaking, and it because they built us up and they made us believe again, and then because we fell so far the next season, it ruined us. He dragged us out, like we dragged ourselves back out one more time and got totally heartbroken by it. But this time around, as you say, this the point is, you know, we've been in Europe twice in the last three seasons and we've been in the finals of both of those competitions. That's not luck, that's form. That suggests exactly what you say there, that I would be confident of Liverpool making the semi-finals next year, more confident than I bloody was this year, and I will be confident of us finishing top four again and maybe pressing on a bit further next year.
Think of the teams that we've beaten on the way to these finals, you know what I mean? You go Roma, massive, massive club, Manchester City, Manchester United, Dortmund. These aren't small teams. Now, the competition you might look down on, but Man United only won it last year because we weren't in it. You know what I mean? They come up against us again and then out.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah, it's true. And again, just bringing it back to obviously the players and the media stuff. And I love the...
That's what we were talking about.
Yeah, well, yeah, well, cool. It sparked something better. And similarly to us, I like Klopp stuff. It's great to... What were you doing there?
Just blowing a kiss to the camera.
Okay. The Jurgen Klopp's excitement first and foremost, I love the fact that he just keeps reiterating this thing of like, we're here, it's a Champions League final, that's boss.
It is boss.
Yeah, I know. And I get the sense of that, and I love the fact that he was trying to be drawn on the whole how do you handle the mentality for the final, and he's like, there's no difference. He's like, if I came out this week and said, right, lads, it's Real Madrid, we're tearing up everything we've done before, and this is what we're gonna do, and this is how we're gonna change things. It's basically like telling them that everything we've done, everything we've worked on to get to the final wasn't good enough, and that just is basically sowing the seeds of doubt. And he's like, nah, I'm paraphrasing, but bollocks to that. You know, the way in which we've done it is the way we're going to continue to do it, because there's nothing to fear. And
here's my beliefs. I believe in them. You've got this far on them.
Yeah.
We're not going to change now.
Yeah.
These are my beliefs.
Yeah. And the fact is, and I love the fact that we're going to come on to it in a little bit, but the you know, Real Madrid are just supremely confident. I think Liverpool are just as confident, but they're going about it in a clever way. They're coming out and going, Real Madrid are a fantastic team. Look at all the talent they've got.
But...
Look at what we can do as well. There's no way that, we need to remember, if we ever find ourselves slipping here, and it'll happen because it's very hard to maintain ourselves on an even keel, and I am honestly really struggling with it. At times, just I'm getting me, exact anxiety and elation are roiling inside me at the moment. We need to remember how we felt when we went into that Man City quarterfinal, and we said, if you can beat Man City, you can beat anyone. The Man City have just gone and broken the points record for the Premier League. That attacking team, in terms of both youth and pace and physicality, Real Madrid are not lacking in pace and physicality, and addition to that experience, of course. But look, we were able to handle Manchester City, who effectively threw six attackers at us in their own ground with 50,000 people all baying for blood at the same time. It doesn't guarantee we can do it against Real Madrid.
Yeah, but baby blue. I mean, it doesn't scare you, does
no,
it?
No, it makes you think of, yeah, exactly. It makes you think of nursery. Welcome to the nursery. It's a boy. But what it does is it doesn't mean that there's no guarantees. It's not necessarily a translatable effect, but we've handled that. This is not a Liverpool team who have just been parachuted into the final against Real Madrid, having just cruised it through. And people can spin the narrative all they want of who Liverpool have played along the way, but you know, we have played some second tier teams along the way. We've played quite a few of them, but we've dispatched them along the way. We've actually dispatched, and Man City, I think, are an absolute grade A team. I think that goes without saying. We've dispatched them as well. Yes, Real Madrid have gotten through, but Real Madrid haven't cruised through. Yes, they've had some big games. The big teams, look, they lost to Spurs. They drew with Spurs. You know, it's not like they put Spurs to the sword in the group stage. And people say, again, they've picked up in the back end of the season. Well, fair play. So have we. This is going to be one of those irresistible force and movable object style situations. And the best thing about it, Chris, is we get to go there and we get to witness this. And yes, we've got an emotional attachment to the outcome. But from a football fan, if I'm able to distance myself from it a little bit and look at this from a lofty perch at the ground, look at the game unfolding in front of me, this is an exciting a football match as there's probably been in football in years.
And there really is. I mean, first of all, it's the biggest stage, which we've mentioned before. You've got one of the best players of all time in Cristiano Ronaldo going up, not as a swan song, but he'll want to put a little bit of distance between him and Lionel Messi and how many European trophies they've won. I think they've both won 4. But I think I'm right in saying Messi didn't play in the 2008 side that won it. I think he was a substitute on the day. Ronaldo's going for his 5th European Cup, I think. You know, and it's the matchups that really like enthrall me almost, because everybody knows about Trent Alexander-Arnold and he's young, and some people might be watching this who aren't Liverpool fans, you'll think he's a bit of a weakness. I mean, if they're a Man City fan, they'll know that he's not. Hi, welcome, this is the Champions League final podcast. You'll never have one of these. There you've got Trent Alexander-Arnold, yeah, right, going up against Cristiano Ronaldo. Yeah. I mean, that is a story in itself. You've got Mo Salah going up against the world's most attacking fullback ever,
yeah,
to have played the game in Mo Salah and Marcello. You've got two midfields that are just going to absolutely blow for blow battle it out. You've got defenders. You've got a weak defence on both sides. It's just made for one of those amazing, unbelievable games of football. We did the Uncensored Match build-up show. Everyone's like 4-3s and 3-2s. That's what it feels like this is going to be like. And it's not going to be a letdown, I don't think, either. Yeah. I think it's going to be like that. I can't see where both teams... Like, if you've got money on both teams to score, just do it. Don't throw your house on it. Like,
please don't.
Don't. Do what you can afford to do. And do it with Ladbrokes, okay?
Can't more responsibly. but this is the thing, isn't it? It's that. And what I loved as well, Trisha, you mentioned his name there. I love how Trent seems to be taking it in a stride for the start. But also, again, I think he's straddling that line perfectly between fierce determination to succeed and just marvelling at the fact that he's even involved in this. You know, we were lucky enough to sit down with him on Monday and get a nice little interview with him. And he goes from giving and you can tell because he goes from giving a lot of, he's getting good at the stock football answers, so it's straight back and just speak quite monotone. Here's your solid football answer, great. But it's those little moments where you go, mate, European Cup final, and the smile spreads from ear to ear. And you can see him, and you know, he talked about Marcello, didn't he? And he's like, he bangs on about his qualities. He knows what he's up against. He's not stupid. He's a football fan the way that all we are. So all the people who are watching this at home going, well, Marcello's dead, because like, friggin' hell, Trent is 19 years old. He watches as much football as any of us.
Probably plays more FIFA than you the way.
Yeah, he's got a lot more time to play FIFA. And he's damn good at footy himself. And he's being fed all the tactical and that information, watching tapes. MP4s these days. But the point is that he'll have done his homework as well as knowing it intrinsically as well as a football fan. And he's just bang up for the fight.
It's his dream, and he's fulfilling one of his dreams. I can guarantee you that, to play in a Champions League final for his boyhood club. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm happy, you're happy, everybody watching at home's happy that Liverpool are in a Champions League final. Imagine getting to play in it in your first full season as a professional footballer for the club that you fucking love.
And the good thing about him is that the feeling I think inside the club is this is a future Liverpool captain we've got on our hands here. We could be talking about another 10 years more.
Hey, listen, 10 years' time, me and you might be sat here with our Zimmers at the side of the table or whatever, like, and maybe Jack's hosting the show, actually, your son, and maybe we're talking about Trent Alexander-Arnold going for his fifth European Cup.
Wouldn't you just never know. What a world. But, you know, as I say, a bit about Trent Alexander-Arnold is, look, you know, hey, listen, football's a mad thing and there's so many variable factors and players make it and don't make it for a whole host of reasons. All I'm saying is it exists in possibility. We've had a lot of false dawns, a lot of players who just lack the fight, the determination, the physicality more than anything else. You know, we've seen some local lads come through and they're all tiny and slow. And you go, you know that it's not quite gonna make it for them. He's got the raw attributes there, mate, to be a fantastic footballer. Mate,
listen, 13, 14, and I loved John Flanagan. And John Flanagan, for me, maybe I gave him a little bit too much because he was a Scouser coming through into this side, but there are rare occasions when you witness not only someone with the determination of being a Scouser playing for Liverpool Football Club, like, you know, Jamie Carragher and Steven Gerrard, yeah, the last two that have really done it, but they've also got the skill sets to back it up.
Yeah.
This lad right now has got the skill sets to back it up, and he's got that determination to succeed as well. So, listen, I jest around, but he's going to be a great player for us for a long time. And,
yeah,
you know, for anybody out there now looking, you know, talking about us in the comments section about, you know, we're not taking Real Madrid seriously enough, I take Real Madrid very, very seriously, just for what it's worth. I think they're a fantastic football side.
Yeah.
I just happen to have seen a lot of games of football where we've proved that we're a fucking fantastic football side too.
Yeah.
And I will not forget that.
Yeah, no, completely agree with that. Well, listen, yeah, we've done a fantastic interview with Trent. It's really, really good. The full thing's on the website, but here's a little clip to whet your appetite.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Life is full of awesome what-ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at UH1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
So we spoke to your brother, and we've seen him at the coach greetings and what have you, and he said, look, he's always there. I mean, you'd have been there as well. If you're not playing in Liverpool in the team, you'd have been out there supporting the team. Because what it meant to you seeing the support from the other side in the build-up to the final?
Yeah, massive, because obviously, like the Dortmund game, the Villarreal game, in the Europa League, you've seen like the coach greetings and the way the fans were. And I was at them games. I went to every home game that season. And it was unbelievable, the support, and I always wondered, like, what would it be like being on the inside of that coach? Would it be scary, or would it get you up for it?
What was it like?
Come on.
The man said, yeah, that was unbelievable. Like, it's hard to describe, like what actually happens, but you see red smoke, you hear like the bangs on your coach and that, and it just shows how much support that we've got. You can hear the songs being sung and everything. You see the looks on people's faces, just so much passion for the club, and it makes you want to do them proud and makes you want to go out there and win the game for them. And I think that the support that we've got this season, especially in the Champions League, has pushed us into the position that we are.
Amazing stuff. Yeah, go to theredmentv.com, sign up, and you can watch that full interview. There's also some micro interviews with Jeannie Wijnaldum and Andy Robertson as well. Yeah, yeah. And a far from micro interview with Gillian Balagay. Huge. Huge. That's just the amount of food that he plied
you
with.
He's great, mate.
Yeah. There's another taster of that actually on the YouTube channel now, so you can go and check out that. And again, full thing on theredmentv.com. Sign up, 3 month, get involved. It literally does not and has never been better than this right now. It could get better, but up to this point of all the years we've been doing this, this week is the best
this
week
is the
ever.
High, this is the high point.
This
so
is the high
far.
Point so far.
Let's hope it's just another step.
Perfect time to get stuck in. So, Chris, Real Madrid are really confident. There's an article that went out on Bleacher Report, which I'm just going to quickly paraphrase from. Well, I'm going to read directly from, sorry, rather than paraphrase, because I do that paraphrasing thing too much, and it's inaccurate. One of the quotes that I really liked, this is Diego Torres, who's a journalist for El País, says, there isn't any sensation of fear in Madrid about Liverpool among the directors, among the players. They're relaxed in Real Madrid before this final. They've never been so calm and confident in this club before a final than now. This final is the easiest final they have in front of them. All of them, club president Florentino Perez, the captains, everyone. And he goes on to say, Liverpool will be crushed by Real Madrid's legend, was another fella, Julian Ruiz. People say history and statistics don't necessarily play a part, but it does, says another player. There's loads of this stuff. It's coming out from all over the place that they do consider this to be almost inevitability.
The final in front of them. Mm. Wow. It's the only final in front of them, so I suppose it's also the hardest.
It's also true, yeah. What was your reaction to hearing...
You just seen it. Yeah. That was the first time I've seen it. I think I did this. You what?
I read this morning, and because I'd seen Dan Kennett to put it out on Twitter, and he said, look, you know, they make some interesting points, because the guy talks about how they basically think, and again, this is a Madrid journalist, so this isn't coming directly from a player or the club itself per se, but he's reporting on the general mood and feeling around it from both the camp and the Madrid fans, and he basically says, the defence is weak. He thinks the goalkeeper's not up to much.
Who's he talking about?
No. And he thinks that Virgil van Dijk is the only international class defender that we have in that team as well. I mean, overlooking the fact that all four of our defenders are full internationals. Well, not Trent yet, but he will be.
He's going to the World Cup, isn't he?
Exactly. But, you know, and then he says the midfield's got no creativity, which overlooks the fact that James Milner's got the most assists in the Champions League this season. By the way, in your face, James Milner's more assists than any of your... Anyway, and here's the thing. You know, we talk about the fear factor, and I remember 2005 and how we built ourselves up, and we were like, well, maybe this side isn't as bad as we'd kind of feared, you know, because Rafa's got them finally playing at the level we thought maybe they could get to, and then we saw the first half and we got the floor wiped with our faces, and we're like, oh no, every fear we had about that team kind of reared its ugly head. They are playing on I think they're playing on all the obvious weaknesses that people perceive in Liverpool, and I get it, because I like Dejan Lovren, I really do. I like him as a man, I like his attitude, and I think a lot of people get bent out of shape about him, and it's no escaping the mistakes that he has made in his Liverpool career. I love Jürgen Klopp's line of, you know, I think he's a good defender, I think we've seen that attack, maybe I was the only one who thought it. Real Madrid are not going to be knocking down our door to buy Dejan Lovren off us,
no.
Or Andy Robertson, or Trent Alexander-Arnold, at least not yet, or, you know, Loris Karius, etc. But I just... I don't think it's unfounded, them saying these things about it, because, to be honest, they're basically saying that Virgil van Dijk, Roberto Firmino, Mo Salah and Sadio Mane are our best players.
Yeah, agreed.
Totally agree.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to put myself in their camp. If I'd watched Madrid all season long, and I'd watched them for the last couple of years and the way that they've gone about winning this competition 2 years on the bounce, I think I'd be confident. I think, yeah. You know, I'd absolutely be confident, because you're going against the side that you'd look at the league table. Liverpool just got into the Champions League spots as well.
Yeah.
Again, you know, look at the sides that we've beaten on the route to this final. We've beaten PSG, we've beaten Juventus,
Drawn against Tottenham Hotspur.
No, but we've beaten Bayern Munich. We've beaten three league leaders to go in to get into the final. So you would be full of confidence and you would be focusing on your own side. I can understand that. But equally, as a Liverpool fan who's done a lot of research into Real Madrid over the last 2 weeks, by the way, yes, they've got strengths, loads of strengths, but they've also got weaknesses as well.
Yeah.
You know, both sides have strengths and weaknesses. Both sides have great players. Both sides have players that you think, oh, would they change him? Maybe they would.
Yeah.
Maybe they would. Keylor Navas is the one that springs to mind.
Yeah.
It looks like, by all accounts, the only reason he's still in the squad is because Cristiano Ronaldo's his mate.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And so you've got to look at both sides of it. If it was the tactical analysis people at Real Madrid leaking that story, I'd be buzzing.
Yeah.
Absolutely made up. Brilliant. You underestimate us all you want. And if this is the information that's getting fed to the players, fucking brilliant. Because you know what? I want Liverpool to be the underdogs. I want them to think that the whole world thinks that they're shit.
Yeah.
And I want them the whole world to think that Real Madrid are going to walk the park, because it makes it easier for Jurgen Klopp to fire these players up and go and get the W.
Exactly. And that was so good until you said the W at the end. Never heard you say that.
The Champions League final podcast. I'll take the L. Okay, I'll take
the L.
I'll
take the L.
Yeah, I'll own that L.
Settle for a D. It kind of is what it is, isn't it? You're right in that. The good thing is that whether this is coming, if this is not coming out directly out of the Madrid camp, fine. If it's coming from the fan base, I kind of think that's pretty good as well, to be perfectly honest, because they will feel again. They will feel it's destined, because they've won two on the bounce. Because it's a massive, and this is a chance for this Real Madrid team to truly write themselves into the pantheon of European lore. You know what I mean? They're up there. This is going to be the greatest, you know, spell of any European side since
Real Madrid.
Well, since then, or since I think it's Bayern.
Bayern did it in the '80s.
But. The point is this, is, you know, people will be able to look at this, and obviously in Real Madrid as a club, because of the total volume that they've won over the years as well. But because of that, I think it won't put pressure on them in the build-up to the game. They'll handle that pressure because it's fine, because there's an expectation that comes with being at Real Madrid and being a Real Madrid player standard. And if you're able to stay if you're at Real Madrid for more than two seasons as a player or as a coach, then you're more than capable of handling the pressure, because they've been people off left, right and centre. If this game starts to go against them, however, will their fans be able to rise up to it? Because if they treat this with a degree of complacency, and they see us as a minnow or somehow, and we start and we really put it to them, and we can get a goal or a couple of goals, or we can blitzkrieg them like we've seen us do teams. Bearing in mind as well that there's news coming out that Real Madrid haven't sold their allocation, and that there's loads of Real Madrid tickets available on through resellers. So there's another potential where this could be a three-quarters Liverpool crowd as well. Do they have the ability to? Will their fans get behind them and be like, come on, lads, you can do this? Or will it be, because there's a mentality this club is bred, if you're not good enough, you're shit. And if they, you know, that's a potentially very nice scenario, because, and also you're going to reach a point where the Madrid media and the Spanish media come down on them like a ton of bricks as well. And all of a sudden, this dream of being these all-conquering heroes, and they're going to strive to it. If we can give them a bloody nose, or more than that, we can wound them, then I feel like that there's a completely different kind of pressure that they're not really mentally preparing themselves for.
Yeah, I think it's a difficult question to answer, because I think as the fan base, I think they wouldn't be ready for it. I think, you know, I think about Manchester United, and I think about Old Trafford for this one, and how it's almost a case of win. Entertain me as you sat in the stands. That's what it feels like when I'm looking at Old Trafford and stuff. Whereas Liverpool is like, let's do this together.
Yeah.
Especially those European nights where we are one with you, and you know you're going to act as one with us. For Real Madrid, I feel it's more like, well, go and win it for us, because we're here. You know, we're expected to win this game of football. But from the team's perspective, I just don't think you get to where they are without being able to deal with that. Yeah. I think it's going to be difficult. We saw against Manchester City what Liverpool can do to a side, and you can almost break a side very, very quickly in 15 minutes or something. But Real Madrid have had hardships this season. They've had them early on in the season. They've bounced back. They've come good after the turn of the year. They've had them in the Champions League. They've had them against Juventus, for example. You know, being three goals down in your own ground when you're 3-0 up, to still win that game.
Yeah.
Is an incredible feat, and all right, it comes from a penalty and stuff like that, but that is incredibly difficult to do, as I'd imagine, from a mentality point of view for that squad. No, hang on, this is our fucking competition. But the difference is you've got 90 minutes, and that's it, and how will that affect them? I'm not sure.
I think the good thing, you know, for us going into this is that, again, as I say, there's a feeling of destiny for them, and because they've pulled their fat from the fire a couple of times to get themselves into this position, and what I hope, and this is what we've got to hope for, is that this is the story of a team that's just, it's just a season too far for them, you know, and the reason why they've had to scrape through, because I think they should have done better against Juventus. I think if they were really truly as good as they've been in years gone by, given how close Spurs come to knocking them out as well, Juventus, I think Real Madrid should have made far easier work of that game than they ended up doing, particularly in their own in their own backyard. And I just hope that this is one of those things where the players are doing this thing we talked about Liverpool in the past, where they're riding this crest of the wave, where the story is preordained that they get to become these legends of the game, and it's allowing them, and they are overlooking their own deficiencies because they're, or rather they are maybe a touch blinded to their own deficiencies because they think it's preordained that they're going to do this. And that's where I don't think Liverpool are not going into this game thinking it's preordained. Liverpool are going into this game thinking we are going to have to be at our absolute peak of our powers. We are going to have to run harder, faster, longer and stronger than we have done all season long. And if we do that, we might well, we believe we can prevail. I just hope that there's a touch of complacency. I hope that this feeling coming out of the city of Madrid is indicative of the feeling in the Real Madrid camp, and that's where I think it doesn't look guarantees nothing, but if that's the fraction of a percent,
if it's the thread, pull on the fucking thread.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's the thing where I hope, and that's why I should be looking at these articles and thinking, oh my God, this is an all-conquering Real Madrid team. Look at the talent they've got, and their Supreme League conference, and they're good. And I don't, and maybe it's not a very scout mentality to feel fear in the face of that. That actually fills me up with pride. That fills me up with aggression. That pumps me up. And you know, if I'm Jürgen Klopp, and he says he doesn't read the press, he only watches YouTube videos. I'd be pinning that on the wall, or I'd be, you know, all those big quotes they've got all over Melwood of like famous things Shankly said. I'd be like, nah, every wall has got a Real Madrid thing. This is going to be a piece of piss thing, and so they can have their, you know, Rocky Ivan Drago moments where they crunch it up and they grrr, because
Chris Bobby Robson.
Yeah, absolutely. I was trying to find that gif before I could, but this is a fantastic potential motivational tool for Liverpool. They shouldn't need them, to be fair, but I would also be saying, lads, these think they got, and I would just be saying, if there's even a fraction of a percentage in their mindset of that players that think this is already theirs, then if you go and you go at them full force, get in the faces, that might just be the crack in the dam. That might just be, as you say, the thread that you'll have to pull on, that little fractional thing that just gives us an opportunity to work our way through. I'd go to full force, and I would treat that as a massive source of encouragement for Liverpool.
I'm so fucking
amazing questions then. First one comes from Christopher Jackson. I'd like to know who your favourite animated ducks are.
Okay. I think it's Count Duckula. The 17th, I think his full title is.
Okay,
he's a long-term listeners and viewers of the show will know that there was a programme on Disney or something that once described someone as a Trinigma. Okay. But, and Paul,
It was on Trouble.
Was it Trouble? Okay, yeah. Well, it was a long time ago regardless.
It was called Odd Man Out.
And it's a tragedy and enigma.
Yeah.
And I feel like Count Dracula is that tragedy and enigma because he's a vampire, isn't he, that doesn't have fangs and he kind of goes against the usual thing. I mean, his favourite thing to eat is broccoli sandwiches, which I just find quite weird, you know what I mean? Yeah. And all his servants want him to go and be a normal vampire and all that type of stuff. And really, he just wants to go out in the daytime. So he goes out in the daytime and everybody else, all of his servants and stuff, just staying at night and wanting to be a proper vampire and stuff. And I kind of feel a little bit sorry for him. So he's a bit of a tragedy. He's a bit of an enigma. So he is a trenigma. And other than that, it's a relatively recent one. It's the duck from Sarah and Duck. I mean, my kids love Sarah and Duck, and he's just pretty cool, like.
Sarah and Duck. There's a reference that most young people won't get at all, and you will do.
Sarah and Duck.
Darkwing.
That's a good shot.
Darkwing Duck. He is the terror that flaps in the night. yeah, I'm a big fan of that, and I'm a big fan of it. I mean, all of that whole Duck family, if I'm perfectly honest, the whole Scrooge McDuck and Huey, Dewey and Louie, etc., etc. Yeah, let us know your favourite animated... Oh, you know what? Duckman. There's an obscure cartoon.
Duckman?
So Duckman was a really adult, dripping with black humour animated comedy from the late 90s, maybe early noughties. Just really like horrendous, that very, very, very twisted programme. Yeah, really, really good stuff. He's like a private eye, and it's properly fucked up cartoon. Okay, let's get back to the footy. A couple of really good questions here relating to Champions League finals. The first one comes from Matthias Hansen, who's Mr_Hansen 1998. Which team is better, AC Milan 2005 or Real Madrid 2018?
For me, it's quite easy. It's AC Milan 2005.
It's so easy.
It's AC Milan 2005. I think you just... I know we beat them, and maybe that's got something to do with it, but every one of those names is just absolutely stand out. Listen to this list of names: Dida, Cafu, Stam, Nesta, Maldini, Pirlo, Seedorf, Gattuso, Kaká, Crespo, Shevchenko. I mean, seriously,
yeah.
That's an incredible side.
I think, you know, realistically, you know, we might talk about Varane in a similar way in 10 years' time. Ramos is one of the absolute legends of the game now and again. It's easier, I think, now with a bit of time. I mean, to be fair, we thought that was an incredible team at the time, but we're able to look back on all these lads' careers and go, what? I think... the forward line, I think like Shevchenko and Crespo probably had their reputations tarnished a bit by just the Premier League experience, entirely by Chelsea, and Kaká a little bit out, you know, didn't quite work out at Real Madrid, and he's obviously finished his career playing in MLS.
There was a time when he was there with the best players in the world. Yeah. Like he was maybe the best player
that,
in the world.
That's actually the 2007 final. And, you know, he was entering the peak of his powers really then. He was only a wonder kid, really, when we played him in 2005. And he was the player I feared the most going into that game. I look at it and I think, it's very hard to judge because you just don't know with Real Madrid whether these are really, really good lads, some of them, or whether they are... let's say Casemiro is come on leaps and bounds in the last two seasons. But in 10 years' time, will he have been at Real Madrid for a lot of time? If yes, then... You know, great.
Yeah. Does Casemiro have a role named after him in the same way that Makélélé did, for example?
Exactly.
I don't think he does right now. Maybe he goes on to
And I think both goalkeepers are a bit crap. I think they've both got an error in them. I don't think Dido's any great shakes, although very, very agile. Brazilian, you know, it is what it is. Again, no one's going to deny Pirlo. Gattuso as far as an absolute destroyer. Clarence Seedorf, you know.
He won European Cups with three different teams, I think. Ajax, Real Madrid and AC Milan.
Yeah, and again,
Is he the only player to do that?
That's an interesting
question.
I think
he might be the only player to do that.
Nesta and Stamp, absolute impeccable pairing. Cafu, arguably the best right-back ever to play the game. Maldini, arguably the best left-back ever to play the game. Now, again... differing of styles because Marcello's more of a wing back than he is a left back. But yeah, I would.
Maldini's won five European Cups himself.
Yeah, I would say I would say the AC Milan team.
Hello, welcome to the dark side, my friend.
I think the AC Milan team does shade this. Although again, if you do a combined 11, if you threw Ronaldo and Bale up front in that team, it would be absolutely unstoppable.
Also, I think the 2018 matters. I think had it been 2016 or was it 2016, they got 100 points in La Liga. I think that side was probably better. I think everyone's a little better age. You know, for a start, Ronaldo's 33, and as lethal as he is still, and as great a player as he is, 3 years ago, he was better.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, great question. Let us know your answer in the comments or tweet at the MNTV. Next question comes from Madrid 13. Ooh. At AFOD16, he said, what would be your joint team 11? So our combined 11 for the Liverpool and Real Madrid.
I just looked at your goalkeeper.
Yeah, I struggled with this. I want to put more Liverpool players. I'll run through
you
mine.
Do your team first.
And I've done this based purely on name. And I've not tried to construct a team that works in this regard.
Okay.
So I've just gone on pure reputation and what they've achieved. So it's probably Navas in goal, but I think it's kind of a topic because I don't think either keeper's great.
I mean, I looked at it and it looks to me like you've got both keepers' names down there.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, and I've gone with Navas, and I've literally written Navas down on the sheet because I'm in the same boat as you, and I think what tipped it for me is he's got two European Cups under his belt.
I mean, that's it, isn't it? So I think in terms of the back four, Carvajal, Ramos, Virgil van Dijk, Marcello.
Mine's quite a bit different.
Cool. And at midfield, I just picked their midfield, Casemiro, Cruz, Modric. And to be fair, like, I did this ahead of the Man City game as well. And then I've put Salah, Ronaldo, Bale up front.
Okay.
And now here's the thing. I can make a case, and I'm about to make a case for Liverpool players' inclusions in all this, but this is a Real Madrid team that's been there and done it. The quality of their team is absolutely undeniable.
They've got the W's.
Well, exactly. So many W's. It's unbelievable. They've got more words than Gareth Gates trying to order a whisper.
Okay.
There's a reference for you.
Just trying to give us the www. dot would be quite funny.
Yeah. So you can't look. You genuinely can't deny the quality. And the only ones I've managed to squeeze in this regard is
why
that,
are there more syllables in www than World Wide Web?
Yeah,
it feels like we've shortened it, but we've made it longer.
That's why everyone says www. Dot. You know what I mean?
Food for thought, everyone.
Virgil van Dijk, because I think he's older and more established than Varane, even though Varane's obviously got more wins under his belt, but I think he's more senior quality. And it's similarly Salah I've put in ahead of Isco for a kind of similar vein as well.
Well, yours is shit by comparison to mine, because I've got the right answer here. Navas.
You put Andy Robertson at left back.
You're damn straight, I've put Andy Robertson at left back. Why are you laughing?
Okay.
He's the best left back in the world.
Okay, cool.
I don't joke about this shit. Okay. People might joke about it. Andy Robertson's the best left back in the world. Virgil van Dijk, Ramos, Trent Alexander-Arnold. I'm having that in at right back. And do you know why? Because this is playing in a Liverpool kit for the Liverpool Football Club.
Okay,
so Trent Alexander-Arnold beat
Isn't
Carvalho.
It a 50-50 kit?
No,
half and
not
half
of mine. Okay, no, cool. You have to I had to pick a joint 11. I picked the fucking team. Okay. Thank you very much, Madrid 13. Henderson at the base of him.
Right, okay, yeah, no problem.
Who actually, you know what, when I've been looking into the stats and that this season, ranks very, very closely with Casemiro in a lot of these categories.
Close, but below.
I was just about to dive in and say, don't quiz me anymore on that. Cruz and Modric is my two centre midfielders with Jordan Henderson. And then I've gone Salah, Firmino, Ronaldo.
Ooh, okay, cool. Yeah, like I say, if I was to pick a team if I wanted to pick a team that worked in the Liverpool mould, I probably still would put Marcello in at left back, if I'm honest, as much as I love Andy Robertson. The Carvajal thing, just because, again, solid and established. You know what you're getting with Carvajal.
You're not getting balls into Ronaldo's feet, though, are you? Not in the way that I've got Trent making up with Bobby Firmino. Let's just agree that mine's the right answer, because I've got Andrew Robertson and Alexander-Arnold.
Absolutely.
There we go. Trent Evans, Pajak rocks it. Paul ends it. End the show, Paul. We're not getting better than that.
Yeah, but I think there's a case to be made for... I love our front three, and I wouldn't swap our front three for any in the world.
It looks like you have, Paul. I don't believe a word you're saying. You've swapped them for Ronaldo and Bale.
No, no, but this is the conversation that we're having. This is the point, is that I think that's the team that most neutrals would pick. I think the only Liverpool players that would get into a combined 11 would be Van Dijk and Salah. I think it would be a stretch to ask for Mane over Bale or Firmino over Ronaldo.
I kind of see what you're saying, but I think Firmino would.
Over Ronaldo.
It depends what you're playing. I've gone with Ronaldo off the left, for example. I think if you're looking at Firmino and Benzema, which they've played loads of times this season, yeah. Firmino's well better than Benzema.
Okay, cool. But yeah, like I said, I think this is the point for me, is that this is a Real Madrid team that's established, it's a Real Madrid that's won things, it's a Real Madrid that's been at the peak of its powers for a number of years. Now, not all of these are fading stars by any stretch of the imagination. Some of them are still very much in the prime. But we're the next big thing coming up. There's a reason why everyone's gone mad for Mo Salah. The world is preparing for Mo Salah to be the next Ronaldo, the next Messi, the next global megastar, the absolute pinnacle of footy. And that's where I think this team's ready to go popping, let's be honest. I've put Carvajal in there, but if Carvajal left Real Madrid this season and he bought another right back, which they could just do, no one's going to remember Carvajal as a you're not going to mention him alongside Marcelo, for example. Yeah, right. And similarly with Casemiro. If Casemiro goes and signs for...
Just get somebody else.
Inter
probably
or AC or Juve
again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Was it Tommy G?
Tommy Graveson, yeah. Everyone thought they wanted Lee Carsley. But you know, this is the point. Liverpool have got the opportunity now for, you know, when all the new computer games come out in August, September, there's an opportunity for Liverpool to be one of the top rated teams, because they're going to go up against, and if you can go and you can beat Real Madrid, then you earn the right to put yourselves in combined 11s and to be the players that everyone wants to have on ultimate team.
So what you're basically saying is you want these players hungry going into the final. You want them to want to be in the combined 11.
They need to earn
the
right to be in my combined 11. Look, because again, it's Liverpool. I'd be putting too much Liverpool bias on to put more than that at the moment, because
I've got trust in my players. I don't think
no. But also it is.
It's trust.
Yeah.
I don't know how fucking Carvajal plays. I've not watched 54 games of Carvajal this season.
Yeah.
I've seen 30 games of Trent at right back, and I like what I see.
Yeah.
It's trust.
Trust.
It's trust that these lads are going to get into your combined 11 next season. That's what it is, Paul, because I fucking believe in my side. I've got fucking hope that these guys can go out there and prove it at the weekend. That's what it boils down to.
Hope.
Trust.
Hope or expectation.
Hope. Expectation, fucking anything you want, mate.
Absolutely.
Because I believe in the lads, whereas you quite clearly fucking don't. Go to fucking Wales with the Everton fans, will you? Fuck off, man.
You didn't rip me team up. Amazing. Let us know your combined 11s and the thinking behind it in the comments below. Subscribe. Get over to the redmentv.com as well. We've got tons of podcasts. If you like podcasting stuff, we have got you covered. The aforementioned Gillian Balague interview, the interview with Trent Alexander-Arnold. We've got build-ups. We've just so much
stuff. I've forgotten how much we've done.
No, it's incredible.
A tactical preview with Statman Dave. Yeah. It's fucking belter.
It is. This is the best time to get involved and support us and what we do as well. And hopefully build even more, even bigger and even better for the future alongside a glorious Liverpool side. So listen, get yourselves pumped up. Get yourselves ready. The Reds are going to Kiev. We are too. And let's hope, let's cross our fingers and let's have it in pure and good faith. And the mighty Reds can do the business over Real Madrid. Walk on.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.